Bomam of the lower planets. Divyam heavenly. Manushyam of human beings. Chak also. Mahiptong all opulences. Karma by fruit of activities. Yoga by mystic power. Jam born. Yaha one who. Chakre did. Niriha with hell. Opamyam comparison or equality. Purusha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anujana to the devotee. Priyaha most dear. Translation: as a great follower and devotee of the sage Narada, Maharaj Priyavrata considered hellish the opulences he had achieved by dint of fruitive activities and mystic power, whether in the lower or heavenly planetary systems or in human society. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that the position of a devotee is so super excellent that a devotee does not consider any material opulence worth having. There are different types of opulences on earth, in the heavenly planets, or even in the lower planetary system, known as Patala. A devotee, however, knows that they are all material and consequently he is not at all interested in them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Parang Drishtva Vivartate. Sometimes yogis and jnanis voluntarily give up all material opulences to practice their system of liberation and taste spiritual bliss. However, they frequently fall down because artificial renunciation of material opulences cannot endure. One must have a superior taste in spiritual life. Then he can give up material opulence. Maharaj Priyavrata had already tasted spiritual bliss and therefore he had no interest in any of the material achievements available in the lower, higher, or middle planetary systems. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the fifth canto, first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata. All right. So, Vomam Divyam Manushyam Cha Mahitvam Karma Yoga Jam Yashchakri Nirayau Pabhyam Purushanu Janapriyaha. So, Om Ganat Chimirandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, here in this particular verse and purport, we find mentioned opulences. So let's really talk about what opulences are. Because generally, you think of opulences in terms of money. Money, a nice car, a nice wife, right? What else? A nice house, a nice whatever, vacation. So you think of opulences in terms of that, but opulences are far more than just something to do with wealth. We find in the description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Bhagawan, that he has six different types of opulences. And wealth is only one of those opulences. He's strong. Just like last night, we met a devotee who was very strong. We were able to punch him in the stomach. Nakul. You know Nakul? Our dancer. So he was so proud of his opulence, he said, Maharaj, just punch me in the stomach. Of course, when time factor comes to punch him in the stomach, he will not be able to tighten his muscles so much that it'll be unaffected. So his opulence is limited. He has some opulence. You couldn't do that with me, so he has more opulences than me in strength, right? Because you punch me in the stomach, I'll be flat on the floor. So, and then there's strength, and then there's renunciation. Of course, probably I'm more renounced than Nakul. I hope so. But I'm not completely renounced. There's a limit to my renunciation. I'm still attached to eating nice prasadam and everything like that. So, and then there's wealth, strength, renunciation, fame. I'm really not the most famous sannyasi of them all. There's much more famous sannyasis than me. Intelligence. That's another opulence. So, in this material world, if you go over all these six opulences that are attributed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you'll see that each and every one of us has a certain amount of those opulences. And we become proud of those opulences. And we become envious of someone who has more opulences than us. Someone who's more intelligent, more strong, more famous, more wealthy than us. So this is the material world. It's one of envy like that. So Krishna, of course, has unlimited opulences. But the only way to get it detached from our opulences, of course, with Priyavrata, he had previous experience and he was convinced to become king by Narada Muni. And he was remembering. That's actually a very good system. That's why it's described that we should be Krishna conscious. What is it? Komaramacharet pragyo dharmam bhagavatam iha. From the very beginning of life. So then even after we become attached to opulences or have opulences in this world, it'll be easy for us to give them up. Like Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was established as a king too. But he was able to give up his opulences in such a way, just like one gives up the stool room after leaving the stool room. It's interesting, isn't it? That's a description given in the Bhagavatam. It's like one gives up stool. No one is attached to it. Of course, gold is sometimes considered to be yellow stool, right? Bhagavatam says that. And we all like gold, especially in Indian culture. Gold is extremely important. When you get married, you have to give gold as your dowry. Do you do that? No. You do not follow the culture, Malecha. Isn't it? There has to be. I'm embarrassed to be associated with you. But because there has to be gold. It's just like recently we had, unfortunately, it was in an Indian family. Family from India, from Gujarat, and they decided to get a divorce, and so they were fighting over who would get the gold from the dowry when they got the divorce. And they actually went to court in the United States, and the judge couldn't even understand what dowry meant. So they had to take 3 hours to explain to him what a dowry was. And so then they were, you get this much gold, you get that. Anyway, so gold is described as like yellow stool. The attachment to it, of course, is like that. So, naturally we're attached to these opulences. As they say, a pauper is attached to his penny. And so, how to get out of that attachment? So let's talk about different types of opulences again. Intelligence. I'm going to tell a story that I told in Suva the other day. About someone who was very attached to being the most intelligent. This is a story from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book, Jiva Dharma. So once upon a time, there was this man. He was engaged in something called Nyaya. Nyaya means logic and reasoning. So in India, at least in Bengal, I don't know if it was the case in other states in India, that you had people who would go and challenge each other based upon how well they could argue. That's Bengal. Because in Bengal, the people were so small they couldn't fight. That's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita too. That there were some Bengalis who are associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. And they were challenged by Patans. Patans, you know, big strong people. And they started shaking. So the Bengalis, their opulence is intelligence. And Prabhupada said all political movements in India started from Bengal originally. This is Prabhupada's statement. So what happened is this person who was very attached to arguing with others. Of course, you also have that story of the Chaitanya Charitamrita of the Digvijaya who challenged Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ultimately was defeated, even though he was a disciple or follower of Saraswati. So this other person, his name was Brajanath. That's a nice name to have, Brajanath. We also have our Brajanath here in Fiji. So his name was Brajanath, and he was challenging everybody to debate in logic and reason, and he was defeating everybody. So naturally, when you're defeated, you get disturbed, right? If someone defeats me in logic, I get all disturbed about it. So one of his opponents who got disturbed thought, we got to get rid of Brajanath. And the way that intellectuals or, let us say, ritualistic people get rid of other people is by going and praying to Durga to get rid of them. That's the nice way to do it, rather than hiring a bunch of gundas. So he decided to perform some austerity to Bhadrakali. That's the ferocious form of Durga. In Bengal, they worship Bhadrakali. They even have this Kali Puja. And it's really horrendous what they do during the Kali Puja. So anyway, so he decided to do this ceremony to Bhadrakali for 1 month. And the ceremony consisted of him performing puja at the crematorium. So if you want to kill someone, you go to the crematorium. So, any of you want to do that? You have an enemy? When I want to take care of my enemies, I just go to Lord Nrsimhadev. I've had special pujas performed to Lord Nrsimhadev to get rid of people. I told you about that, right? Not to kill them, but, you know, anyway. Just to put them to the side. And it works. So I call up the devotees there, and I say to Pankajanagri and Jananivas, we have another puja to perform. Another devotee, you know, who's interfering with my service. So, just joking. Anyway, so this particular individual, he decided to get rid of Brajanath. So he went and he lay down on the cremation ground and was praying to Durga. Durga, Bhadrakali, get rid of this Brajanath. He's my competitor. And after a month, he got really frustrated and he said, do it, you know, Bhadrakali, help. And there was lightning and thunder and pus coming from the sky. And there was a voice. And the voice said, Brajanath will soon give up arguing with people. Don't worry about it. And then he became relieved and he went back home. Haribo, you know, I'm ready. I'll be the chief now. So, all right. So, it's interesting because Bhadrakali, Durga, is a devotee. So she really wants the best for her devotees. And she wants the best for the living entity. She's our mother. So she didn't want to kill Brajanath. So she had another strategy. So what happened is that one day this Brajanath, who was engaged in Nyaya, arguing with everybody, he was studying his books of Nyaya and thinking, how great I am. I'm so intelligent. I have this great opulence. I'm better than everyone else. And one of his disciples came to him and said, Guru Maharaj, my Guru Dev, because I don't speak Bengali, so I couldn't say. He said, there was someone who was better than you in Nyaya. And he said, who is that? And he said, he's no longer in this world. His name was Nimai Pandit. So Brajanath was thinking, Nimai Pandit, I heard about him. He's better than me? Well, then let me study his Nyaya philosophy. So he went all around Bengal finding whatever was written about Nimai Pandit. Everybody knows who Nimai Pandit is? No. Lord Chaitanya. So those of you who are not devotees here should know that. So he was known, Lord Chaitanya was called Nimai, and only later on he became known as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So anyway, so he went around looking for the whatever was written, because Lord Chaitanya didn't write anything except for the Shikshashtaka, basically. And so he found some information, and he was studying the life of Nimai Pandit with the idea of becoming a better philosopher. So he's studying. And he was thinking 24 hours a day, Nimai Pandit, you know, chanting Nimai. It was like we have Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. So he's chanting Nimai. So that's called the Gyata Sukriti. What does that mean? That one is doing some devotional service without knowing that you're doing devotional service. Just like we go out on Harinam, and sometimes a drunkard is imitating us, right? And they're dancing Hare Krishna like Jagai Madai did. Or the store owners are looking at us, they're just saying, I wish those Hare Krishnas would go away. And they're chanting. Just like there was one devotee of Lord Chaitanya, Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, who went to the Qazi one night, a Muslim, and he said to him, chant Hare Krishna. And the Muslim magistrate said, go back home. I'll chant Hare Krishna tomorrow. And then Gadadhar said, you're already chanting, just chant it. Haribo. And then Prabhupada would look at an article in the newspaper that was critical of the Hare Krishna movement, and they were saying in the article, those Hare Krishnas, they're nonsense. We can't stand the Hare Krishnas. They're always chanting Hare Krishna. We don't know why they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're a cult that's chanting Hare Krishna. The Prabhupada looked at the article and said, oh, very nice article. Because they're chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada said, oh, this is what we want. So anyway, this Brajanath, he was chanting Nimai. So one day he went home. His mother was cooking for him. And he said, Mom, Mata, have you ever heard of Nimai Pandit? And she swooned in ecstasy. In other words, she fell to the ground because she remembered feeding Nimai Pandit sok, which is spinach. And so she said, yes. Oh, he was so wonderful, so great. And he loved to eat spinach. Shock. I saw it. And so Brajanath, he took the shock and he's thinking, this is the shock of my Nimai Pandit. This is the shock. Oh my God. It's so wonderful. And he was remembering 24 hours a day Nimai Pandit. So after a few days, he thought, what the hell am I studying Nyaya for anymore? I should find out, because Nimai Pandit, he gave it all up. It's true. Lord Chaitanya, as soon as he took initiation, he gave up all the studies and he just started teaching how everything was connected with Krishna's name. He was teaching the alphabet. He was teaching Sanskrit based upon Krishna's name. Like Ajiva Goswami wrote a book like that, Harinam Vyakarana. That means how to learn Sanskrit utilizing Krishna's name. So he gave it all up and he went to see some of the great devotees. They were Babaji's at that time. And he took shelter, and eventually he realized that he was a coward boy. He realized his spiritual identity. So this is a success story. How that opulence of intelligence he considered insignificant when he got Lord Chaitanya's mercy, just by chanting Nimai. And there's another story about someone who was very attached to his renunciation. There was a sannyasi one time. And this sannyasi, this is also from Jiva Dharma, this story. because I'm putting together a whole course on Jiva Dharma, which is a very interesting, wonderful book by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this was, there was this sannyasi, and he was so attached to his renunciation, he was in Varanasi, where all the sannyasis live. That place is a place of Mayavadi. So anyway, so he was there, and he was, I guess, meditating on Brahman, and sitting by the Ganga, chanting Aham Brahmasmi. The Mayavadis have different Mahavakyas, or mantras, and one of them is Aham Brahmasmi, Tatvamasi, Sweta Ketu. These are all verses from the Upanishads. Aham Brahmasmi. You can imagine just all day long, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. You are Brahman, but that doesn't really help you, because if you just think you're Brahman, you're going to fall down ultimately, because you're not going to get any happiness. Aruya Katrina. Parampadam patajido yujmad angrayaha, as Bhagavatam states. So he was chanting there, and he had achieved the Mayavadi Paramahamsa stage. That means completely absorbed in Brahman, completely detached from everything. He had been practicing for so many years. So he was chanting, or whatever he was doing, he was thinking, I'm a Paramahamsa, but I'm miserable. He was very attached to his renunciation. And so what happened is, it happened to be a member of the Hare Krishna movement who was doing Harinam near him. and there was a devotee just came back by Hare Krishna, or Gauranga, whatever. He was chanting, and then the sannyasi started to feel some ecstasy in his heart. And he started, wow, what's this ecstasy? I've never felt this ecstasy. Of course, we have that verse in the Bhagavatam, the Atmarama verse, Atmaramas cha like that, that the Atmaramas, those who are actually even Paramahamsa Mayavadis, they're attracted to the guna, the qualities and nam of Krishna. So that proves that Krishna, or the understanding of Krishna, or the devotion to Krishna, is higher than Brahman realization. So anyway, so he heard this, and he said, wow, I'm experiencing ecstasy. And he heard the name of Gauranga. And he was experiencing so much ecstasy, but he was too attached to his Mayavadi consideration to even talk to the devotee. So the devotee went away, but then he kept thinking, again, Gauranga, 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 same thing, Nimai, Nimai, Nimai. And because he was thinking like that, he eventually went to Bengal, to Mayapur, to meet again with the devotees there. And he approached the devotees, and he explained, you know, I'm a Mayavadi sannyasi. I've spoiled my human form of life by being attached to renunciation. So please, give me some instruction. And so he got instruction from some of the Paramahamsas there in Krishna consciousness. And eventually, he threw away his Mayavadi ekadanda, changed his dress, dressed like a Vaishnava, and became a full-fledged Vaishnava, and he was able to engage his Vedanta studies, in other words, his intelligence in understanding all the Vedas, in defeating people who challenged the Vaishnavas. So even he utilized his Mayavadi knowledge to defend the Vaishnavas. So that's another point, that even these opulences, whether we're talking about wealth or strength or renunciation or any of these things, can be used in the service of Krishna. So here you find Maharaj Priyavrata, who was using all these opulences in Krishna's service. In fact, he had taken up this service at the behest of Lord Brahma. So that's Yukta Vairagya. So our renunciation, getting to the point, is not giving up things. Not like Maharaj Bharat, that's not mentioned in this day and age, that your system of becoming Krishna conscious is to just give up everything like stool and run to the forest. Actually, Prabhupada said, the forest for us is the city. That means preaching Krishna consciousness. So Yukta Vairagya means to accept things to please Krishna. And if Krishna gives you a kingdom, Be a Krishna conscious king, like Maharaj Virahamvira. Maharaj Virahamvira was a disciple of Srinivas Acharya, and he made it illegal for someone not to chant their rounds every day. If they don't, someone didn't want to be a Vaishnava, well, they had to become a refugee. Isn't it? That's a story. So chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we accept all religions as long as they follow their principles and don't go killing cows. They can eat some lower creature like a dog or cockroaches they like. Some countries they actually eat cockroaches. Very nutritious. A lot of protein. So people can... So if someone has some position, whether it's opulence, intelligence, it should be applied in Krishna's service. And then it becomes purified. In the previous ages, yes, maybe you gave it up because everybody in the kingdom was already Krishna conscious. But in this day and age, our renunciation or giving up our opulences is to understand Isha Bhashtam Idam Sarvam Yatkancha Jagajam Jagat Tena Jitena Bunjidha Magridha Kushasvidanam. Everything is owned and controlled by the Lord as meant for His service. And if you use anything for your own personal self outside of serving Krishna against the principles of Krishna consciousness, you're a thief. Just like, I was listening to a class where Prabhupada was talking about this morning. He said, just like if you're a chauffeur or driver for a rich man and he gives you the car to drive for him. Just like Vasudev has a driver who drives him to the hospital. Right now he's in the hospital. But if you take that car when the owner is not looking, and you simply go to the bar and do so many things, and you get an accident, scratch it up. Anyway, that's funny. Then you're a thief, because it belongs to someone else. Someone else's property. Just like even with Sanatana Goswami. Is that Sanatana? Sanatana Goswami, okay, of course. Sanatana Goswami, when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, he had gone through the Jarakhanda forest and had so many diseases. He had all these sores coming out of his body, pus and everything like that. So because of that, he was feeling very remorseful because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would still embrace him. Can you imagine embracing someone who has pus coming out of his body? Would you do that? I don't think so. But Lord Chaitanya would forcibly embrace Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was thinking, I'm so sinful. I should commit suicide. I'm offending the Lord. He's embracing me. And then what happened is that Lord Chaitanya knew what Sanatana Goswami was thinking of. And he said to Jagannanda Pandit, what do you think about someone who wants to misuse or throw away someone else's property? He said to Sanatana Goswami, your body belongs to me. That's interesting. Because normally we think at least Krishna should give us our own body to enjoy. Maybe the temple belongs to Krishna. Maybe, the Bhagavatam belongs to Krishna. Okay, that's all right. We accept Krishna can have what he wants. But, I want a little something. I want my tongue, at least. I want my belly. I want my chandeliers. These are all mine. My body. But Lord Chaitanya said, your body belongs to me. And he said to Jagannanda Pandit, what do you think about someone who wants to throw away something that belongs to someone else? He's a thief. He's a rascal. And Lord Chaitanya said, your body is meant to serve me, to carry out the mission of excavating the holy places in Vrindavan, compiling Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako, understanding the essence of religious literatures and studying them and compiling. So it's not your prerogative to do what you want with your body, including killing yourself. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on cured Sanatana Goswami of all these. It was a test. Finally, Lord Chaitanya gave Sanatana Goswami a test. He said, come to see me. I want to see you. And Sanatana Goswami had two, paths that he could take. One was on the beach where the sand was very hot and would burn his feet. And the other one was by the door of the Jagannath temple. And he didn't go by the door of the Jagannath temple because he didn't want to contaminate the pujaris. But he went by the beach and hurt his feet. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with him that he actually said, first of all, he said, because you're my devotee, when I embrace you, it is like getting chatushama, which means like a fragrant sandalwood and everything like that. And he said, ultimately, if I become hateful to you because you have all these sores on your body, I would not be fulfilling the dharma of a sannyasi. The dharma of a sannyasi is to be samadarshi, you know, equal. If you think someone is ugly and someone is pretty, then you're in maya. A householder should see like that, obviously. A householder can see, you know, my wife's pretty, everyone else is ugly. But anyway, so, at least this household has to say that. So, but a sannyasi should not see like that. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said ultimately that he embraced Sanatana Goswami with the sores because of the love he had for his devotees, which is actually really a touching realization from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considers us to be like his children. That's amazing, isn't it? He can say, so when a child, let's say if you have a child and the child is saliva is coming from the mouth, you don't think, oh, ugh. Or even Prabhupada said, the child's stool is like sandalwood pulp for the mother. Did you know that? Sandalwood pulp. So when there's love, do you understand these things, Ramchandra? No. I have no realization of these things either. I mean, I may realize Krishna, but that I do not realize. You know, I have my realizations are very limited in this world. So, when there's love, then that's why Lord Chaitanya was embracing Sanatana Goswami. And then Lord Chaitanya embraced him, and then all the sores went away. So the point of the story is everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is meant to be used in Krishna's service. Don't artificially renounce whatever opulences you have. In fact, if you can get more opulences, get them. Just like sometimes business people come to me and say, should I give up my business? And I say, no, you do bigger business and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you give it all to Krishna. Not that you just get a bigger car and a bigger car and a bigger car. You get a Mercedes, a Lamborghini. You know what a Lamborghini is? And or a Porsche. And then you get a big yacht. Like some of these millionaires, they have these yachts that cost like $50 million. A yacht, you know. It's not that you do that. You just become more and more opulent. Or if you have some intelligence, you become more and more intelligent. And you use it to preach Krishna consciousness. So this is how we use our opulences. So here Maharaj Priyavrata understands the kingdom is going on, so he gives up everything and engages full time in hearing and chanting about the Lord. So any questions or comments about any of these points? No? Fiji, they never ask questions. They understand everything. Or nothing. It's either one of the two things here in Fiji. They understand everything I said, or they understand nothing I said. And they're just sitting there just because they have to sit there. Yeah.
Someone may have a realization.
Yeah.
That all the opulences are of no value, just like Mara.
Yeah.
Is there anything wrong with another side you mentioned was that opulences should be used in Krishna's service.
Yeah.
Yukta Vairagya.
Hmm.
But isn't there a certain time in one's life where one would want to still renounce all of that and, absorb themselves in Krishna.
Okay, that's a good question. Because that's a question I ask myself that every day, you know, several times a day. Because, I mean, every day Govardhan looks better to me. So I'm thinking, look at all these sages. And Prabhupada said at 50 you're supposed to renounce everything. And here I am, 67. What the is going on? So then, you know, because there's a natural inclination to do that. But then I think of someone who is very dear to me. His name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And I think of what would he say? If he was sitting here today, he is sitting here, but if I could hear as well as I would like to hear, and I asked him, Prabhupada, I just want to give it all up and just become a Babaji at Govardhan today. What would Prabhupada say to me? He'd say, you rascal. I know it. I mean, because what did Prabhupada do? When Prabhupada, the final days, Prabhupada said, give me the benediction of dying like a fighter. Prabhupada didn't say, I mean, of course, when he was lying there in Vrindavan, yes, but he was also dictating and translating his books. He didn't give it up. Even to the very end, he was giving advice, preaching to the devotees. He didn't go into seclusion. So even though it's very attractive, yes, it is, I have to admit, it is actually extremely attractive. There's a famous saying in English, goodbye, cruel world. Goodbye, cruel world? You ever heard that? There was even a song in the 1960s where about material renunciation. He said, goodbye, cruel world, I've gone to join a circus. The circus is not the Hare Krishna movement, don't worry. He said, goodbye, cruel world. The reason this song was written is because he was so fried out, his girlfriend rejected him. So he's ready to take renunciation. We see that as Falgu Vairagya. You know, if your girlfriend rejects you, you can take renunciation, you'll find another girlfriend like the monkeys in the tree. Markata Vairagya. So, it's definitely something that attracts one as one progresses in Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada even talked about, you know, you all manage the movement and I'll just sit down right somewhere. But it never happens. So we have Prabhupada's example, the example of Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. And so we follow their example even though it's an austerity. It really is. As you get older, you know, managing, especially being a GBC in the Hare Krishna movement, especially being a GBC in Fiji. Krishna gave me, two of my areas of responsibility are the most difficult areas in the world. One is the Balkans in Europe where they literally, 20 years ago, each country fought each other. There's bullet holes still. At least you don't have bullet holes in the buildings here. There's bullet holes. If you go into Bosnia, Bosnia is a country in the Balkan area, then there's bullet holes in the buildings. And the country is divided into three parts. There's a Catholic part, a Christian part, and a Muslim part. And you have three different prime ministers. Can you imagine that? That's worse than Fiji. So... And so that's part of my zone, and this is part of my zone, and one is on the other part of the world. And you got America in between, that's at least the peaceful place right now, until Donald Trump gets elected to be president. So, you know, there's definitely an inclination. So, to answer your question, but, you know, I just want to do it Prabhupada. Ultimately, we're servants of Prabhupada. That is the real point that keeps us together and keeps us working hard. You see, so many times we find even disciples of Prabhupada who leave the movement, form their own organizations, or even oppose ISKCON. You know, we have people like that, and even in Savo Savo, there's someone like that. I won't mention his name. He wrote me an angry letter saying, why are you preaching to my Ritvik people? And I went over to the home of one of his, not his followers, but you know, someone he's trying to influence to become against ISKCON. I said, you should not preach to her. I have my movement. But then, you know, we should ask these people, what would Prabhupada say? Would Prabhupada say, very good, you're preaching against ISKCON. I appreciate it very much. You think Prabhupada would say that? Prabhupada would say, cooperate. And even if the GBC asks you to do something you don't particularly agree with, cooperate. I mean, don't do anything against the regular principles. You know, if I just start passing out the kava this morning, then you know you don't have to follow it. If I say, you know, Sanatan, here, drink the kava, that's my instruction. Then you don't have to follow that instruction. It's Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. But you should ask these people, what would Prabhupada want? Would Prabhupada want you to be doing what you're doing? You know, put Prabhupada in front of you. Everybody should have, every one of us, whether we're Prabhupada disciples or not, we should have that Prabhupada internalized in our heart. And our Guru internalized in our heart. It's like some of you are initiated by Srila Tamalkrishna Maharaj Gurudev. So ask him the question. What would you like me to do, Gurudev? Renounce everything? What would he say? What would Tamalkrishna Maharaj say? No.
He would be only interested in pushing the movement.
He said, push the movement. Surrender. Give your life for Krishna. And that's what he did. He gave his very life for Krishna and pushing the movement forward. So that is our acharya. These are our acharyas. So this is really what Krishna consciousness means. You know, if Narada Muni came and said, all right, you should take renunciation. And he said, let's say Narada Muni came to me today and said, all right, Maharaj, you know, you've had enough. Go to Govardhan. I would say, Prabhupada's instructions supersede your instruction, Narada. I have to do that. Isn't it? Even if Narada came, I'd have to argue with him. I said, you know, you may be a predecessor or acharya, but Prabhupada is my guru. Anyway, I hope that doesn't happen. So, on that happy note, I think we should end. Thank you for the nice question. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.